2 Kings chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. This miracle is one of the miracles recorded in the life of the prophet Elisha. And we know that Elisha was the one that had served Elijah. And when asked if he could have anything, his heart's desire was that God might bestow upon him a double portion of the anointing spirit that had been on the prophet Elijah. In your Bible, if you study it out, you'll find out there are exactly twice as many miracles recorded in the life of Elisha as there was in the life of Elijah. That tells us that no matter what we're doing for God, and certainly Elijah was a great prophet, but no matter what we're doing for God, there is someone coming behind us that God will allow them to do even more than what we have done. If we will call upon the Lord and seek the Lord, God has more for each one of us. Let's look at this, and I want to share a few things with you, just three or four points very quickly out of this particular passage. First of all, I want you to notice the emergency that she had in her life. Her husband was a son of the prophet. Now that tells me that good people, godly people, can face some horrible situations in life. Just because you live for God doesn't mean that you're not going to face some things in the journey of life. Her husband was studying under this great prophet, Elisha. He had a desire to serve the Lord. And therefore, when the time came that this situation arose in their life where that he died, I don't know if he died suddenly, unexpectedly, but she was reminded of the fact that she knew where to turn to. The first thing she did when this happened was she cried for the prophet to come. You know something? It's all right to cry. And every now and then, life will put us at a place where we weep. But weeping within itself doesn't bring about the miracle. No more than weeping will save your soul. It's great to be convicted. It's great for tears to come to your eyes. But if you don't repent of your sin, you'll still not be saved. If you're not willing to ask God and follow God's word, you won't get the victory that you need. There's more to it than merely feeling sorry about our situation. She was justified to weep, just as we're justified to weep. But weeping within itself will not take care of our emergency. She called out for the prophet to come. Thank God she knew where to go to. She knew enough to go to somebody that knew how to pray. I hope that there's people in your life that you have confidence in, that you know when you face situations, it's all right to go to them and say, Listen, I need help. And she knew who to call on. She knew to call upon the ones that could touch heaven and knew how to pray. When we face an emergency, we need to do more than cry. We need to call out. What made this emergency so horrible was the creditor. See, apparently they owed a debt. I don't know what the debt was caused from. I don't know if she was even aware of the debt until her husband died. But in that day, if there was a loan that had been given to an individual, a debt that they had to pay, and if they didn't have the means to pay it, then the creditor would come and say, then I'm going to take your boys to be bondmen, work like slaves in order to pay that debt off. So now she looks at not only losing her husband to death, but now losing her sons to the creditor. Them not being able to establish their life. Them not being able to move forward in their life. Paying the debt that their father had created. Do you know something? We're all debtors today. Our forefather Adam put us in such a debt that there's no way that we can pay that debt. And if that debt is not paid, there is a creditor that's come. His name is Satan. And he's going to put us in bondage and slavery till that debt is paid. That's why people can't, oftentimes they can't understand, why am I so bound by these things? It's because there is a debt that we cannot pay in and of ourselves. And the devil says you'll have to work it off. But the problem with that is you'll never work the debt off that you owe or that I owe. You could work your whole lifetime and not be able to pay the debt that sin has left us with. It's been passed on through the first Adam. But thank God the second Adam canceled the debt. She had an emergency. She had to take an examination. When she got a hold of the prophet said, I've got two questions for you. First of all, what do you want me to do? Now, to me, that seems somewhat strange in a way. It's apparent what she wanted. She had a debt she was about to lose her sons to. She couldn't pay the debt. It would seem very obvious what she needed. But you know something? Just because it's obvious doesn't mean that you're going to get your answer until you ask the Lord for it. Just because you know you're a sinner, you still have to tell the Lord you're a sinner. It's not because He doesn't know that we've sinned. He knows all things when we come to Him. So many times we face problems and situations, and they would come to Christ with withered hands and lame feet, and Jesus would say something like this, what wilt thou have me to do? He wasn't saying that to be arrogant. He was saying that to teach us a lesson. You have not because you ask not. One thing is certain, we're not going to receive anything of God until we ask God for it. If we're going to see prayers answered, we have to ask the Lord. When we seek the Lord, that's when we find it. When we ask, that's when we get the answer. So first of all, what will I have me to do? Second of all, what do you have in your house? You already have everything in the house to take care of the problem. You just don't realize it. God's given you everything that He needs to work with. If you will take what God has given you, what's He given you? Well, He's given you a measure of faith. You don't have to have the faith of many of the great prophets. You just need faith the size of a grain of mustard seed to look to yonder mountain and say, be thou removed, and it will happen. He's given you the faith that you need. There is not a person in this sanctuary today. If you look at me and tell me, oh, it is impossible for me to be saved. You look right here. You are listening to the wrong one. That is a lie from the devil. Because the Lord, when you came into this world, gave you enough faith to believe on Him. And that's all that it takes. Because you do not save yourself. I do not save myself. Jesus is the one that saves us and has the power to save us. So my faith is not in myself. My faith is in the only begotten Son of God, the living Christ that can take our sin away. She said, all I've got is a pot of oil. So then he said, well, if you want the answer, you've got to exercise your faith. Faith that is not used accomplishes nothing. Faith is useless in your life, even though you have it. It's useless if you don't exercise it. You have to demonstrate your faith. why God asks us to do some things that He does, it's beyond me. But still He's saying, you have to do it. He said, first of all, go borrow vessels. Borrow not a few. Hey, listen to me. If you're determined to just get a little bit of the Lord's control in your life, that's all that He'll take. But if you want more, you can get more. Not more of God. It's more of our faith being exercised for God to do what He's always wanted to do in our life. But we have to say, it's not enough to believe that God can do it. I'm going to exercise that faith, put that faith into action. Because when I put my faith into action, God will take that faith and use it for His glory. So borrow not a few. Then said, you get alone and you shut the door. You know why we can't see more things happen today in the church? Too many distractions on the outside. We're so distracted today. So distracted. Everything occupies our mind. The number one tool of the enemy, I'm convinced, with people that love God with all of their heart, the number one tool that the devil has is distraction. He'll make sure that we're so busy, and it can be doing good things and right things, but we're so busy that we don't have time for the most important things. He'll keep us so busy that we don't have time to read the Word of God. We don't have time to study the Word of God. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to prepare our heart for worship when we come. We just hope that maybe somebody else is prepared and a little bit of it will splash over on us. But it doesn't work that way. We have to say, Lord, I have come to exercise my faith. So I'm going to get all that I can. So go out and borrow every vessel you can, because God's going to meet the need in your life. Not only did she go and get those vessels, shut the door, but then she had to take that oil and start pouring it out. If you do not put into action what God has put in your house, it will not work. You can have it right there, but you've got to start pouring out. Pouring out. We're at the place we love to take in, but we don't want to pour out. Now, it'll change a lot in your life, in your Christian life. What I'm preaching today, it'll change. God doesn't change, but we change. See, the battles that you face when you're younger aren't the same battles that you face as you get older. The more mature that you get in your life, then you'll find out that the devil's going to attack in other areas, but it takes just as much faith in one area of our life as it does in the other area of our life. When it's young and you're raising a family, it takes a lot of faith to meet your bills and try to find the direction of God in your life, where God wants you to work, the plans for your life. It takes a lot of faith to do that. It takes a lot of faith to raise kids today. Somebody say amen right there. It takes a lot of faith to raise children. They've got so many enemies that come against God and His Word. It comes against your home. It takes a lot of faith in God to be able to raise your family and do what's right. But as you go through life, and before long, the kids leave the house. You become a grandparent or a great-grandparent. You think that your battles are over. But now it takes a lot of faith to get out of the bed in the morning. It takes a lot of faith to go out on Sunday morning to get to church. It takes a lot of faith to trust God for strength to make it through the day. Our life changes, but we never stop demonstrating faith. But can I say this? The fullness comes when we pour out our faith into a living God. As we pour out faith, that's where the blessings come from. Years ago, I learned this lesson. I try to apply it to this day in my life. Candy and I, many years ago, we were going overseas on a missions trip to preach. I was going to preach, and she was going with me on the trip. And we needed money to make the trip. And at that time, times have changed a lot. Churches have become a little more wise and a little more blessed, and it was tough going at that time. So we were making this trip. We were making the trip by faith. what came time to pay for the trip, about a day or two before the final payment was due on the trip. And we didn't have the money. So I prayed and I said, Lord, I need money. And I'm driving down the street and the Lord said, look up. And there was a bank. He said, they've got plenty of it. Go ask them. Now, I'm not too bright, but I've learned a few things in life. When I went in, they were kind. The teller met me, said, can I help you? And I said, I want to speak to the top person that's in the office today. If you want anything done, go to the top. Happened to be the vice president of the bank. So the vice president, they said, well, you know, he just got off a call. Let me see if he can see you for a minute. I thought, this is feeling good. And then I went in and sat down and he said, how can I help you today? I said, well, I need some money. I need some money on a 90-day note. I told him how much that I needed. And he said, well, that shouldn't be a problem. He said, let's just maybe do a few things here, fill out some paperwork. Said it shouldn't be a problem at all, no more than what you need. He said, first of all, let me ask you. He said, do you have an account here? I said, yes, sir. I've got two accounts. I've got a checking account and I've got a savings account. He said, well, how much is in the checking account? And I said, just about nothing. He said, well, what about your other account? I said, it's about the same. He said, well, do you own land? I said, no. He said, do you own your car? I said, yes, I do. Have 269,000 miles on it, but it's mine. He said, well, you need to know something. He said, the way banks operate is that we will give you money, but we need something called collateral. And he said, do you have any collateral? And I said, as a matter of fact, I do. He said, what do you have? I said, faith. I'll never forget, he had a pair of those glasses, you know, that half glass. He looked over the top of them and he said, sir, you may be a good man, but you need to know, banks don't loan money on faith. And I said, you need to know, God will take care of all of it. And he said, well, what do you need this money for? When I told him what we were going to do, he started to cry. And he said, you know something? I'm going to loan you that money. We went, took the trip, had 90 days total to pay it back. That took about 2 weeks out of the 90 days. And everywhere I'd go, I wish I could tell you it all came in all at once, but it wasn't that way. Everywhere I went, somebody would say, here's $5 or here's $2. Or here's, and every time I'd get one at the end of the meeting, I'd run in and I'd pay on that loan. And I remember before 90 days was up, I went in and I said, I'd like to see the vice president of the bank. And they said, well, let's see if he's busy. And they contacted him. I went in and I laid the final payment down. And I said, you know something? Faith still works. And I want to tell you today, I don't care what you are facing in your life. God doesn't say that it has to be big, or God doesn't say that it's small. God says, if you believe me for it and you're willing to exercise your faith, if you'll come today by faith and trust the Lord can do mighty things and still perform miracles. She exercised her faith. But then notice something else. Notice the excess. When the pots were full, she calls the man of God again and said, now I've got it. What do I do with it? See, if you get an answer in your life or God gives you something and you don't know what to do with it, then you'll find yourself right back in the same condition again. And she said, what do I do with it? And he said, this is what you do. Go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children. Thank God he didn't leave the kids out. Live thou and thy children of the rest. You're not hearing what I'm saying. We owed a debt that we could not pay. Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. And when he paid that debt, when you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned and the wages of sin is death and I cannot pay that debt. I thought getting saved was all that I needed. But you know what? God's so good to us that he says, you know, I'm not only going to save you, but I'm going to give you the oil, the precious Holy Ghost. And not only will there be enough to pay the debt, but there'll be enough to live on the rest of your life. There'll be enough to take care of you today, enough to take care of you tomorrow, enough to take care of you till you reach the end of life's journey. God will not only pay the debt, but there's enough left over to live on every day. See, just because you're saved, you still got to live. And the same grace that saved you is the same grace that will sustain you. Last week I preached on the battles. Some have come and said, I want to be anointed for the battle. God will give us that. But when he gives us that, we've got to use it for his glory. You will not get anything of God and from God till you ask him for it, till you obey him, till you follow him, and until you praise him for what he has done and what he is doing. It takes it. Every week, there are people in emergency situations. Every week in this church family, people have emergencies that arise. Things that they can't take care of themselves. But I've come with good news. No matter what the devil puts on your bill, God has enough to cover the bill, to pay the debt, and to take care of you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're coming this morning to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here this day and you need help from the Lord, some of you are going to face some situations today, tomorrow, next week. You'd say right now, preacher, I know that I need help from God. You love the Lord with all of your heart, but suddenly you've been put in an emergency situation and you need prayer. You're saved, but you need prayer. You'd raise your hand and say, pray for me. How many would do that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Someone else, just slip up your hand right now. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, sis. Somebody else, just slip up your hand right now. God bless you. Bless your heart. Up in the balcony, maybe. Is there someone there? Pray for me. Pray for me. If you're lost today, you'll never pay the debt of sin. The only one that can take care of that for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you ought to come today and say, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I'm giving my life to you. If you're here, Christian friend, and you want God to help you, I don't know how to make it any more plain than how I'm about to put it. It won't happen till you call out to him. You can cry on your pillow every night, but that won't be the answer. You're going to have to call out to God and say, Lord, I need your help. You're the only one that can help me, Lord. And I hope that you won't put it off, but you will come today and bring that heavy load, that broken heart. You'll bring it to God. And sinner friend, bring your sins to the Lord, for he has the power to save you.